Amen. I love the church calendar, as I've shared with you a lot this season. And we've talked about Advent, we've talked about Christmas, we've talked about how Advent gives us an opportunity to kind of enter into God's time zone, a time zone that is not set by months and days and years, but set by the coming of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and everything that happens in between. And it's always fun to me to see when Advent begins. And we always, of course, we know Christmas falls on December 25th, right? Christmas Eve is going to be December 24th. That's the norm. But it's always interesting, and let me just give a shout out to the church staff, because every year we have to take a look at when Advent begins, when Lent begins, and when Easter is going to be, and the timing of that is always a little different. Yeah, we know that Christmas Day is coming, but we also know that sometimes Advent begins around the Thanksgiving holiday, and sometimes Lent begins really early. We barely feel like we've gotten through Christmas. And this year was so interesting earlier this year when we looked at the calendar and saw that December 24th is on a Sunday. And there was the whole question about, well, how do we handle Christmas Eve being on a Sunday? Do we have just the 5 o'clock service? Do we have a service in the morning? And as we talked about it and discussed it, what really made sense was that this morning is the fourth Sunday of Advent. And we're going to, and yes, all of today is Christmas Eve. We've even got the colors up for Christmas Eve, and we are in Christmas Eve mode already. But this morning is almost like a preparation for what is coming tonight. This morning is a time for us to just kind of sit with Mary and Elizabeth in the awe and the wonder of what is coming, specifically with Mary and Gabriel the angel, and then I'll talk a little bit about Elizabeth as well. But to sit with them before the big moment of arrival comes tonight. So this is a quiet Christmas Eve morning where we remember that this story that we heard happened on just another ordinary day, the story that we heard so beautifully read today. We hear at the beginning in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her, and he said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Friends, this was just most likely an ordinary day. Mary might have been doing the laundry. She might have been studying. She may have been asleep. I mean, Luke gives us just enough detail for us to know kind of what was going on. But I love that Luke leaves out a lot of details so that we can embrace the mystery and live into the mystery of what might have been and what could have happened. And I can't help but think that when Mary encounters the angel named Gabriel, the messenger named Gabriel, who comes to her with this perplexing and terrifying news, that it was just an ordinary day for her, going about her business, doing normal things, and here all of a sudden her life has changed. But what one thing we do know, God chose Mary for a purpose. We can see by the fact that God chose her for this great task to carry the Son of God, that she was one who was pure in heart, that she was one who knew God, that she was one who had a relationship with God. She was obviously very faithful to her faith, like I was just commending each of you on. She was somebody who probably showed up for temple and synagogue when she was supposed to. She likely learned the songs of the Old Testament. She prayed. She was likely a very committed person. And we hear that she is the favored one and that the Lord is with her. And the angel says to her in verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And friends, this is the beauty of this passage. We look at this and yes, there was one person being addressed. A young woman named Mary was being addressed. But we are all Mary. Christ is born in all of us. We as the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, Christ is born in and through all of us working together, not just in this building or to the sound of my voice, but throughout the kingdom of God. And what we see in Mary is, what does it take to be called highly favored? What does it take to be called highly favored? Well, the scriptures outline for us time after time, verse after verse, that it means that we must come with an open heart, a pure heart, a willingness to follow. Tonight, when we come to the communion table, that invitation echoes throughout the years that all who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another and seek to be in relationship with Christ, that is what is required of us to be favored. So if you have that willingness within you, with Mary, you and I are the favored ones. And we hear that the angels say in verse 31, you will conceive in your womb and you will bear a son. You will name him Jesus. Verse 32 tells us he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High and will be given the throne of his ancestor David. I want to stop there for a moment. Given the throne of his ancestor David. Earlier in the service, we shared in a scripture from first or second Samuel. And all of that is about David wanting to build a house for God. David wanting to build something spectacular. But y'all, I mean, how can we build something that makes God happy? I mean, we can try. But that's what David wanted to do. He was saying, God, I just want a place where you will reside. And throughout that passage in 2 Samuel, we hear that David is saying, I want to build you a resting place. I want for there to be a place not just where you rest, but where you dwell. The word for rest is also translated as dwelling and abiding. So what David was saying is, Lord, we want a place for you where you can just stay with us forever. And the Lord speaks to David and responds to him and says, I never lived in a house before. And he and David have this whole conversation about this. But here the messenger is telling Mary in that moment that he will give to Jesus, this baby who is to be born, the throne of his ancestor David. So friends, we are celebrating today that God is resting with us. Resting with us. Now, there's a difference in sleeping and resting, right? Everybody knows this. You can sleep and wake up not feel rested. You can rest without sleeping. But the rest that we're hearing about here, God has come and is resting among us. God is with us. He is in us. He is present to us. And on this Christmas Eve, it is so easy for us to get caught up in everything that needs to be done. I walked in the door this morning thinking about and talking about what needs to be done. And that's all good. We're preparing him room. We're getting the work done. But here in worship, what we have experienced today, what I hope you have experienced today, that you experience anytime you stop to pray, that you stop to worship, you stop to be in fellowship with one another, is that God is resting with us. He simply wants to be with us in the same way that a mother is with her child and just in holding that sleeping infant. That's what we'll be celebrating tonight, that Jesus rests among us. What was it on the seventh day of creation that God did? What was it after all of the work and all of the creativity and all of the magnificence of creation that God did? God rested on that day. Well, friends, we have entered into not just entering into the season of Christmas, but as a church, we are entering into a season where God is, I believe, saying to us, just let me rest with you and you rest with me. Do not be anxious for anything, as we heard last week, but in all things give thanks. Rest with me in this season. Simply be with me. Sit with the awe and the wonder of everything that unfolded in Bethlehem all of those years ago. But before we get to Bethlehem, this morning we are talking about before we get to Bethlehem tonight when we come for our Christmas Eve communion service, we are with Mary in that ordinary day of just doing what God is calling us to do, doing our everyday tasks, and everything has changed with this message that comes to her. And she goes on to have this conversation with the messenger, saying, how can this be? And in verse 35, the messenger says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. Just beyond this verse, we hear Mary's response. The angel interacts with her a little bit more, but I can't help but wonder. It's in verse 37 that the angel quits talking, and it's in verse 38 where Mary says, let it be done unto me. I am your servant. And I've always wondered, how long did it take Mary to say yes? I mean, seriously, is anybody a thinker like me who thinks through every possible scenario before you give an answer to a question? I've driven some of y'all crazy in church life probably with that before, where you've asked me questions. And that is what I've wondered about Mary. Did she immediately say, yes, Lord, let's get this thing done? No. Or did she wait and ask more questions? We don't really know. But all that matters, friends, is that Mary said yes. She said, yes, God, come and dwell in me. That was what she was saying. Yes, Holy Spirit, come and dwell in me. And that is what the Lord is asking us, friends. The messenger has come to us today. saying, okay, I want for Christ to be born in you, church. I want Christ to be born in you as individuals in a new way. What is your answer? And the truth of the matter is, don't you know the angel already knew Mary was going to say yes? I mean, and that is the thing. God knows we're capable of that yes, and he gives us that choice. And will we be open to how he wants to be born in us? And here's the good news. And I want to share this little part of the story that's not in our reading today that I think is so important to wrap this up. But right after this happens, Mary doesn't go. I mean, at some point she tells Joseph, and that whole story from Matthew's gospel develops. But in Luke's gospel, the first thing Mary does after this is she goes to be with her cousin named Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptizer, and she believes she would never have children, but the Lord moved, the Holy Spirit moved upon her family as well, and she was pregnant with John. And when Mary walks into Elizabeth, this is what the scripture says in the latter part of Luke's gospel in chapter 1, that when Mary walks in the house, Elizabeth said the child leaps in her womb, and we hear Luke say that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's something that happened after Jesus was raised from the dead, right? That was something that happened in Acts chapter 2 when they're gathered in the upper room. Yep, it did. That same phrase was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not the first time it appears in the book of Acts. It appears for the first time in Luke chapter 1 when Elizabeth just encounters the presence of Jesus in Mary's womb before he's even born. She is filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is the reason I'm bringing this up. If we are filled with Jesus, if Christ dwells in us as a church, all we've got to do is walk in a room with a heart that's willing and people who are open, and the Holy Spirit will fill that room. All we have to do is to let Jesus be born in us. All we have to do is to give our word to the angel who has given a word to us, or give our word to God that has been given to us today. He has given his word, and the word made flesh, Jesus. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord, be born in me. And the result of that is not just peace. It's not just rest. It's not just love and joy and hope and all the things that this candle represents. It means being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you're going, well, what does that mean? Well, I don't know, friends. We don't know how the Holy Spirit moves. The Holy Spirit moves in mighty and miraculous ways. The Holy Spirit moves in ways that we never expect. But Elizabeth reminds us in this story of the fact that all she did was encounter the presence of Jesus before he was even born, and she was filled. If Jesus is being formed in us, if Jesus is being born in us, if Jesus is living out his life in us as the body of Christ, we can't help but see the Holy Spirit spread like wildfire. And that is that's the second half of the miracle of Christmas. The miracle of Christmas is the one we all know, the baby born in the manger. But the second half of the miracle is what happens afterwards. When we go to the hillsides, when we go out into the fields, when we go out into the world and tell this good news. So let us today, friends, be filled afresh and anew with that awe and that wonder that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. The same Spirit that hovered over Mary and that filled Elizabeth dwells with us. God hasn't changed. His promise has not grown stale. It is still true, it is still real, and it is still very much among us. I want to close today's reflection by sharing with you a poem that I just discovered this past week by Malcolm Guite. And the title of it is Annunciation. And it's all about what happens between the angel talking to Mary and Mary saying yes. So we're going to conclude this time, and then we'll sing in just a moment. But hear these words by Malcolm Guite from his sonnet, Annunciation. We see so little stayed on surfaces. We calculate the outsides of all things. Preoccupied with our own purposes, we miss the shimmer of the angels' wings. They coruscate around us in their joy, a swirl of wheels and eyes and wings unfurled. They guard the good we purpose to destroy, a hidden blaze of glory in God's world. But on this day, a young girl stopped to see with open eyes and heart. She heard the voice, the promise of his glory yet to be. As time stood still for her to make a choice, Gabriel knelt and not a feather stirred. The Word himself was waiting on her word. The Word himself was waiting on her word. How will we respond with Mary? In the name of the Father, the Son,
and the Holy Spirit, blessed three in one, now and forever. Amen.